God is still love all the time, every day. But we've been going through how deep that love is. And at this point, I want to talk about how that love affects us. And falling in love with children and being willing to do anything for them, and they've done nothing for you, and you don't even know them yet. Right? Sometimes they're not even on the planet and you're already altering your life for them. And tried to use that to explain the best I could the way God loves us. It's not about anything we've done. It's not about anything we do. And not about anything we continue to do, how good we are. Sometimes we love our kids when we can't stand them. But we love them. Now, if you got little kids, you may not know that phenomenon yet. But when they start to get older, you understand that, you understand that perspective a lot better, right? Can't stand them, but love them. Still love them. Do anything for them. God's love is not conditional. The best understanding of that is a true parent. And still not close, by the way, but a better understanding. That love of God. And every time I think of this, my mind keeps going back to this season when Kwame kept bringing that up. And everybody was looking at him, with their head twisted, like, well, what's all this thought about? But he was just on this thing where he just kept talking about what God's love, but what about God's love? But isn't it about God's love? And I'm coming to realize that a lot of the church is not connected with or relate to or understand that in a real sense, And if they equate God's love to the way they love, then it ain't worth much because it's seasonal and temporal and based on situations and circumstances. Well, it's kind of hard, I guess, to conceive a love that you've never experienced, number one. It's not always their fault, or don't have yourself. In this season, as I've been going through this, we realize that the power of God that works through us and the greatness that He's called us to and the gifts that we function in is through His love. We cover that in detail, how it's through His love that we function in and we move and are able to accomplish the thing He's called us to. It's by His love that we do that, that the power, the faith, the wisdom, the insight, all of that stuff that we depend on so deeply, according to the scriptures, operates through His love. When I think about love, when we think about love, we don't think about wisdom. When we think about love, we don't think about power to do stuff. When we think about maybe motivation to do it, but not the very power to do it or to execute it, understanding all these kind of things, we go, yeah, but wisdom and insight and intelligence, that's not anything to do with love. That's a whole different category. Am I clear? You understand what I'm saying? I don't associate with I have to have the wisdom to do something, then there needs to be a love flowing through me to do it. You don't go to take a test at school and sit down and pray for love to be manifested so you can go, pass your class. That's not something that doesn't come into your mind. You don't put those together. God, just give me the love of your love through me so that I can succeed in what I'm setting out to do today. We don't think about that. But the word we study said wisdom, faith. It said even said faith, wisdom, all of this stuff operates through God's love. Well, okay. I hope you remembered that. And I hope that you're keeping that on your plate. Because now, as I'm seeking to do things, I'm seeking love, not as just the opposite of hate or dislike, but love as the opposite of weakness and confusion and anything that brings me stress. The opposite to that is love. Well, how? Because we relate to love as a feeling. It's an emotion, not as a source of power. 1 John chapter 4. And this is going to begin to open up a different level of God's love and how it works through every aspect of our lives. And trust me, I'm learning this with you, so I'm teaching you what I'm learning. If I jump down to verse 4, it says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them. Meaning the agents of Antichrist, the wicked one. Because he who lives in you is greater than he who's in the world. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more of this, but I want to jump down to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow man is begotten and born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, perceive and recognize and get better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God and does not and never did know him, for God is love. Whoa. I've always heard God is love, but it's a real description of the power of knowing that and functioning in that. Watch this. Go back to 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs forth and is from God. And he who loves is begotten and born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand and perceive and recognize and get better acquainted and clearer knowledge of God. So there's a limit to how far I can go in my relationship in knowing God without walking in this love. Again, we're not talking about emotion. We're not talking about eros. We're not talking about phileo. We're talking about agape. We're talking about the love. And then I always thought agape. Okay, so that's a feeling though, right? No, because he ends with, because God is love. Now, most people could do a whole message and stop right here. But me, I had to go back in the archives and go, okay, let's read what's before that, because you're making a very strong statement here and you're telling me that my ability to know, perceive, recognize, and be better acquainted with God is to act out this love walk and to love, walk in love toward other people. Well, first of all, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to walk in love with ugly people. I just don't. I don't know how to do that. I mean, that's a little complicated for me. And I don't mean ugly looking in the face. I mean, just ugly spirited people. It's very hard for me. I can pretend and you can too. You'll try it. How many of you have tried it? Just to be just as Christian-y as you can be and just be as loving and affectionate to these stink behind folk that you can and put up with them and smile and act like everything okay. But eventually you just like, okay, you know what? I'm going to have to put you in your place because you's taking me off. And I, you know, like that woman said, Lord, I'll be right back. I'm going to have to put this on the side and I'm going to have to come back and have a conversation with this person, come back conversation with you after I cuss this person out. Right? Now, you're smiling because you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to start from the beginning of this, and I want you to see something. Verse 1 says, beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove and test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. Somebody said to me yesterday, we're in a very bad situation in a marriage, and they was talking to me, and they said, I said, so why'd you do it? And he said, because some pastor prophesied that I was supposed to. Well, how many people have found themselves in that situation? Somebody spoke something over you and told you what you're supposed to do, and you didn't try the spirit. You said, I'm just going to just listen to what the person said. Well, it says, do not believe every spirit, but prove and test that the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets are gone forth into the world. Well, we understand that. We know that. But here's the thing. By this, you can know and perceive and recognize. Every spirit, I mean, the spirit of God, every spirit which acknowledges the spirit of God is every, blah, 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 blah. You will know or perceive or recognize this way, the spirit of God, every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually has become man and has become and has come in the flesh, is of God. Every, you will know and recognize the spirit of God by this. Any spirit that, every person who is willing or any spirit is willing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ as God has come in the flesh. Well, he believes in God and he, you know, he goes to church. Does he believe that Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, is God and come in the flesh? This is how you try the spirits. Some of them will get real close. I believe he's from God. Do you believe that Yeshua Mashiach is God in flesh? Do you believe that? Well, you know, a lot of people believe different. Okay, we already know. You don't. Just say you don't. And I'm a finish. Let's stick a pin in that right now. Let's just say we already know you don't believe it. But now let's take it deeper. Every spirit which does not acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but would annul it or destroy it or disunite him from God, is not of God and does not proceed from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Anytime they start trying to talk around it and dance around it and move it this, well, you know, there's many spirits, it's a different thing. Now, I believe in God, but, you know, because I went through a kid, I don't really believe, you know, all the whole thing. You know, I don't believe that Jesus is actually God in the flesh. You know, King James was written by, okay, nobody asked you about the books and the origins and where they came from. I asked you one question only. And this is the only question you ask. Do you believe that Christ, the Messiah, is God who came in the flesh to die for my sins and yours? And if the answer to that is no, on any level, any dissimulation is said, any tweaking and twisting of it, he didn't say, listen close to what I'm about to say. He didn't say, that is a confused person. That's not what he said. He didn't say, that's a person that he still got to figure it out. He ain't found his way yet. That's not what it says. Well, you know, he close. I mean, at least he do believe in God. And it doesn't say that. It says that is the spirit of Antichrist, which we've heard is to come. Wait a minute. And now already exist. So all your little storybook fairy tale, the Antichrist is coming someday. And when he comes in the cloud and we're snatched out the earth and after the rapture, no, he's here already. He hasn't assumed the role that the Antichrist plays when the church is moved from the earth, but he exists. And that's why a whole bunch of leaders of church people will go run after somebody and follow them and submit to them as a leader just because he holds the Bible up and smiles, but never has to say, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh and has come and walked this earth. Doesn't have to. And the church went, pew, just because you quoted the scripture. Of course, he says something that sounds super spiritual. Now, listen, I'm not here to get political. I'm here to hold our faith to the Bible. Well, this is private confession. He don't have to, you know, say that to people. Yes, he does. My faith is a private thing. I don't feel like I really need to discuss that with the public. If you'd be ashamed of me before men, I'd be ashamed of you before my father. This is, again, this is not a political conversation, but these are the grounds in every situation, be it a love interest or whatever else, that you make your judgment by. Do you believe this? No. Well, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Watch this. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh will try to annul it, destroy it, Sever it, dissimulate him from God, is not of God, and does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and now is already in the world. Why is this in the love message? It's important. It's very important. And here's why. Because we look for stimuli. We look for things that move our emotions, that just felt right, or just the way they said it, it just was so strong and convincing. We look for stimuli. The Bible refers to that as itching ears, heaping unto themselves teachers, knowing not what they teach or wherefore they affirm. It just feels right. I was online and this preacher came on. And I don't know if he was trying to make a point, but with conviction and deep heart, and he's got a following, he started preaching Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and had a fall, and the king's horses and the king's man couldn't put them together again. And he tried to use that to say, only God can put you together. Wouldn't you fall? And I'm like, my N word, did you just preach Dr. Seuss? Like, hold up. And they were applauding and clapping at, like he was sharing some revelation. Whoo, his brother deep. And I'm like, no, he's not. Because what you're preaching is stimuli. You're preaching emotion. You're preaching things that feel good and make sense to our conscience, but doesn't reveal or manifest the truth of God. The truth of God is manifested in simple things like this. You try spirits and you find out if that spirit is of God. Well, he's a Christian. He believes in God. Yeah, but what he's saying and doing right now doesn't line up, does it? No. Okay, so now you have to tell him, yo, you need to check yourself. And once you do, then you find out what they really believe. I believe that Christ is Savior, but they don't believe Christ is Lord. See? Let me put it in order for you. Lord and Savior. Okay, let's just try it again. Lord and Savior, not Savior or Lord, pick your choice. And Lord comes before Savior. He can't be your Savior if he don't have control or make the final decision, which makes him Lord. See, this is where it gets a little quiet in church, but it's okay. Lord first, Savior second. Not Savior, I Lord over my life. I make my decisions. I know what's good to me. Well, it's just how I feel. I feel strong about this. Well, I understand all of that, but I feel strong about this. And I lived with that for yeah. Well, what does the Lord said? The Lord said this. So why? Well, I just know how I feel. Okay, so your Lord, you just want him to be Savior. Savior comes after Lord, meaning even if I don't like it, even if I can't stand it, even if I'm frustrated and despise it, you have the final word. You make the decision. You are Lord. You call the shots. You make me do stuff that I don't want to do, and I do it where I do what I hate like I love it. This is a process that we have to go through. So when he's saying try the spirits, because not all of them are of God, then it's my responsibility, not his, to get before the Lord and say, Lord, this feels right. It feels like what I want to do. It agrees with everything I agree with. Even a couple of Christians have come and confirmed to me that this is the case. But what say you? So you've been hearing me speak for the past couple of months about when you quiet all the emotions and all the feelings and all the logic and you get still, and when all of that's out the way, then you can see clearly what God is saying. There's a connection here. This love I'm talking about is not a feeling. It's a clear, strong, forceful direction. And that direction guides you to the greatness that you call to. But it is not about how it feels. It's about what you know to be the truth. And then he gave us this word as guideline to iron it out. Does it line up with his spirit? Try it. Does it identify that Christ is Lord and King? I don't care the logic of it. And I won't get into it again, but you know about me getting on these panels and them saying to me, you show so much love. Tell us about yourself. And there are panels that deal with everything from spiritualism to witchcraft to aliens to everything. But to God be the glory, they like the way I represent Christ because I'm not trying to talk to them and challenge them in the area of beliefs. I'm challenging them in the area of God's love, which is my responsibility to sort out. Let's keep going. So he said, every spirit that does not acknowledge Christ is that of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is heard to be coming and is already in the world. And now we go back to the next scripture, which I started with, because now it ties together. Okay? Every spirit that does, first try the spirits, whoever doesn't acknowledge, verse 2, that Christ, God, is coming as Christ in the flesh, or he's the Messiah, is the Antichrist. Right? And then he goes on to say, little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome the agents of the Antichrist because he lives in you. And he who's in you is greater than he who lives in the world. So he's, when you hear greater is he who lives in you than he's in the world, he already said Antichrist is already here, but in this world. But greater is he that's in you than the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. Now that makes sense. It's not just some cliche you say. Greater is he who's in me than he's in the world. Greater is he, the spirit of Christ in me, than the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. So that means he ain't that powerful, is he? I mean, he ain't as bad as they try to make him sound. Watch this. Little children, you are of God. You belong to him. We talked about that in the past couple of messages. You belong to him. You're his baby. From the moment you were born and he looked in your eyes. And before that. I'm talking about born before this planet. We won't go into all that. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome the Antichrist. No, you didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. I'm going to read it again. Little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them, the Antichrist, the agents of the Antichrist, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Little children, you belong to God and you have already defeated the agents of the Antichrist. Little children, you little children. Didn't he say grown peoples, grown super spiritual people? He said, little children, you as little children in the faith. No, you should be, I mean, you should be dancing across the ceiling right now. Let me make sure you heard this. Say, I, even as a child of God, have already overcome and defeated all the power of the Antichrist. And make sure you say, right now. So let me read it again. See, those are little verses that just get slept on, man. They just get slept on. They just get so slept on. Little children, you are of God. Say, I am of God. You belong to him. And have already defeated and overcome the agents of the Antichrist, because greater is he who lives in you than he who lives in this world. How did you defeat him already? Well, it started in that first verse. Don't just believe every spirit. Those spirits that don't confess Christ is came as Savior, as God in the flesh, and has already come, they're weaker than you. You little children that just accepted Christ, if you just accepted him today, have overcome the Antichrist and his power. They proceed from the world and are of the world. Who? The Antichrist spirit people. Therefore, it is out of this world that they speak. The world listens and pays attention to them. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God, listen, well, this, I'm bringing it home. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively and perceive and recognize and understand God by observing and experiencing and to get an even clearer knowledge of Him. That study to show yourself approved in long, long words. You're constantly growing, seeking. Any of you who have got to the place where you know God and you are in park, I'm going to just give you this fair warning and update right now. If you know Him and you know Him and you know all there is to know and you don't need any more, I'm letting you know right now, you are slowly declining and slipping yourself right into spiritual craziness. You're slipping into a spiritual Alzheimer's, you're slipping into a spiritual dementia. You are sliding away every day. It says to progressively know, to recognize, to understand, to seek without obstruction. Once you get to the place that you know, are you comfortable in the level of spirituality that you have, you are already in decline. Be careful. Or I know the Lord. I've been with the Lord. I just don't even say it. Just smile when people are talking and listen to see if they say something you can use. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to hold a stand in any place. And that's why when I said to that young man, when he said, yeah, I've been doing this for 3 years. And I said, so you've arrived? I've been doing, I said 30 years, but it's closer to 40 years. I've been doing this like 40 years and I still feel like a baby. As long as I've been walking with the Lord, I'm just starting to get a grip on what this love thing is about. And I didn't realize that love had the power it had because I didn't fall on my face and pray for love. And most of you don't either. You pray for answers. You pray for wisdom. You pray for the needs to make your needs met. You pray for all the things to help you get through your day-to-day life, and you'll pray for some other people. But you are loved. Genesis chapter 1. So the spirit that brooded around the earth when it was void, without form, was love. And when you said light be, it was through love. And when you said, let us create man and let us create the seas and let us create this, the Spirit, we would say the Holy Spirit, like it's a some spiritual spooky entity, but what I'm gathering in, it's love. And that's why it says in anything, everything that was made, in Hebrews chapter 11, everything that was made through Him, and not a thing that was made without Him, in Hebrews chapter 1, I think it is, and 11, right? Everything that was made through Him, and it's not a thing that was made without Him, that He knew you before you were in your mother's womb, that Christ was picked to die for us before we were born and before the earth was created. So love was the force and foundation that created everything. I don't know if you're catching this. This is some stuff. So now when I think of the Spirit of God, my heart goes to, this is the love of God. This is me helping me get a better understanding of what that love is, that you prepare a savior for me to die for me because you know what I'm going to do before I do it. And your spirit brooded around this earth that was without form and void. And then now you recreating this thing, but you recreating, I don't know what the first project looked like, but I know what the second one looks like. And I'm starting to understand it's a love project. I don't know if I want to go that deep with y'all, but let me just throw a little bit at you because I may have missed you a little bit in some of what I'm saying, right? I may have gotten a little bit past you a little bit. So let me help you out. The earth was void and without form. It starts with, it didn't have a shape. It was void, had no form. Covered it. He spoke light be. And it was. Then he said, let us make man our image and our likeness after he had created everything else, right? And then he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Am I quoting anything wrong? What does re mean? What does the prefix re mean? Isn't that do it again? So that if we're replenishing the earth, that means the earth may have been plenished once before. And now he's created it, spoke life to it again. Well, how was it void without form? God didn't create something void without form. Is it possible? You know that whole war with Satan and he was thrown out and onto the earth and all that stuff? That didn't happen during the time of man. That didn't happen during our time. That happened before us. So maybe all the dinosaurs and all that stuff, there. And there was war, remember? And now it's done. And argue with me, disagree with me. I can't prove it. God didn't send me a specific letter. But just from what I've studied and read, replenish is replenish. So now, here we are, born and developed on the spirit of God's love. The air we breathe is God's love, created for that to sustain us. So, watch this. Little children, you are God and you belong to Him, and you have already defeated and overcome the Antichrist. Then we went down and we said, you get to know His love by a constant seeking, growing. And then he says, listen to us. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this, we know and recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God. Not emotionally love them. That's not what we're talking about. Not be nice to them and give them everything they ask for. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a love of God. Watch this. That obviously we don't know what it is and how to use it. We've been trying to operate out of this emotion realm to show God's love, and that's not what this is talking about. And do I have the answer? I'm still seeking it, but I know it's not what I've been calling love. It's not saying yes to people when you really want to say no. It's not trying to get along with people when you really want to just pop them in the mouth. That's not what this is talking about. That is superficial, low-level love. You understand what I'm saying? I gave him my last $10 when I really didn't want to. That's some low-level love stuff. That ain't identifying the spirit of Antichrist or bringing any life of salvation to anybody. Watch this. Love one another because it springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten and born of God and is coming progressively. Somebody say progressively. That's not flow in an insurance company. That's step by step, right? Progressively to know and to understand God, to perceive and recognize and get better and clearer knowledge of Him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God and does not know Him, for God is love. In this, the love of God is made manifest and displayed. Whew. Where we are concerned, in that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that the world, let me read this. I'm gonna have to paraphrase this. In this, God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. It's the only way to love. It's the only way to know love. How can I put this, God? If I can become a blank slate and he can become the AI, if you want to call it, that controls me, or the RI, the real intelligence that controls me and flows through me, and I'm just a vehicle. If I can get to the place, if you can get to the place, if we can get to the place that we can become so surrendered to him running it and progressively growing and knowing him, that's when we represent the love of God. It can't be done in us. It's not about emotions. It's not about feelings. And that's a process that can be done. But it's a process. It's a surrender every day in a walk. Not that we say we love God, but that God's love is displayed through us. Not that we say we love people, but God's love is displayed through us. People can see it. Well, some people don't. Well, it's people just going to reject you because they reject God. It has nothing to do with you, whether everybody likes you or don't like you. You don't judge by that. You judge by the satisfaction in your spirit that who God has called you to reach, you reach. So I'm going to read this last verse. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice, the anointed sacrifice for our sins. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to die for us. Stay with me. This is the closing verse. And this is love and how we know it. Not that we love God, not we have feelings or we get emotional and we hear certain church songs and the tears run down our face and we feel overwhelmed with emotion. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that's not how we know the love of God or how we know what the love is. Here's how we know the love of God. That we know what he did for us. That's the only description of love and love for God you can ever explain to yourself, to a person, or to anybody else. That God did this for me as a child in him, gave me the power over all the power of the Antichrist. And this we know. So when church, religious folk try to say, oh no, when tribulation comes, the church is going to still be here. Can't be. Not possible. Because if the spirit of Christ and the anointing of Christ is still here on any level, Antichrist can't run the earth. He just can't. It's not possible. It looks like he's doing it now. Yeah, that's what the prophet said back then, Elisha. But he said, I got 10,000 more who haven't bowed. God said, I just need a remnant, just a few that's going to adhere to me and what I'm saying, and it makes a difference. You have more power than you know you have, and I do. But the issue is I've been trying to operate out of what we call power in the earth. But the power that we operate out of is God's love for me, God's love for you. It's not how I love others. It's how God loves me. And if I know God loves me, really like keep getting deeper and learning more about it, then there's nothing that can come out of me but that. And again, that's not getting along with everybody and everybody likes me and everybody. You look at the prophets of old, that wasn't the case. I want you to have the love of God in your life in this season. I believe this is the direction for you. Stop trying to love everybody else outside of you until you've received the love of God for you, toward you, in you. You're trying to give other people stuff that you don't yet have. I started to mess this whole message by saying, how can we trust God if we don't know he really loves us? So we go around trying to be a good Christian and show love to people, quotes, right, that we don't even really know ourselves. In this season, Here's how you study the love of God. What he did for us. Listen to the past three messages and the price he paid for us. And talked about the how you love a child and that child ain't never done nothing for you. This is how you know. And if you and him make that connection, guess what? All of the love that comes out of you will stem from a love connection that you've made with God, not the other way around. Don't try to love people to show you love God. Let God expose love to you that he is love, and let that love ring through and in you, and then you will automatically be that to others. Amen and amen.